Hi, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Alexis.
You're listening to Central Crazies Podcast,
where we tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
And we let our crazy flag fly free with no limit. Hey guys, it's Kelly. Today we're going to be covering the murder of Sylvia Likens. Before we start it, I wanted to say go ahead and follow us on Instagram at central_crazies_podcast or email us at centralcraziespodcast@gmail.com. So today's one is like really, really sad. I mean, they're all sad, but this one's going to be kind of hard to get through, but I've been wanting to cover it for a while. So I think, Alexis, me and you have talked about this one before.
Okay.
But I haven't told her, like, who we're covering or not, but I remember, like, I think I talked to her about it. So we're going to start off with Sylvia's parents. Lester and Elizabeth Likens were, like, they worked at the carnival, and they had 5 children. They had their daughter Sylvia was the third born, and she also had a younger sister, Jenny, who had polio, which caused her issues with her leg, and she walked with like a noticeable limp, and she had like a steel brace.
Oh, okay.
On one of her legs.
What year was this?
1965.
Okay.
And then the rest were boys. The rest of her siblings.
Okay.
Sylvia's brothers would go with their parents to work at the carnival. But they didn't like for Sylvia and Jenny, her younger sister, which she was a year younger, to go with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they felt it was unsafe, and they didn't want them to sacrifice their education for working at the carnival. Okay. So they'd stay with their grandma a lot of the times.
Okay. Makes sense.
Like, when they, and their family was, like, extremely poor. Like, they went to really, really hard financial times. They, like, sold beer or candy, like, worked the stands at the carnivals. It's how they made their money, but they definitely were not, like, comfortable at all. So, Sylvia's nickname by her friends was Cookie. And she was said to be friendly, confident, and very lively. Except for she would always smile with her mouth closed because her brother and her, when they were playing a game, accidentally, like, knocked out her front tooth.
Oh, what kind of game were they playing? Dang.
I don't know. Like, maybe football? Just kidding. She was, like, 7. I don't know what they were doing. But, I mean, you know, I gave my brother a bloody lip when I was little, so.
Go you. I'm just kidding.
No, you're not. So she was also a fan of the Beatles.
Oh,
which made me think of you because Alexis like loves the Beatles. I mean, who doesn't love the Beatles, but like Alexis extra loves the Beatles.
I love the Beatles so much.
She does. Like so she was also very protective of her younger sister Jenny, who was like more shy and like insecure than Sylvia, who was, like, super outgoing and stuff. They would go to the skating rink, and her younger sister, Jenny, would put one roller skate on her strong leg, and then Sylvia would grab her hand and lead her around the skating rink.
Oh, well, that's sweet.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was really cute that they, like, skated together that way.
Yeah, make sure, like, she didn't get left out.
Yeah. In June 1965, they were living with their parents in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And July 3rd of 1965, their mom was caught shoplifting, and she got put in jail. So when this happened, Sylvia and Jenny had 2 acquaintances that they had met in high school, named Stephanie and Paula. Now, I don't know how to say this line. Banaswiski.
Yeah, that'd be my guess too.
That is the last time I'm going to try to say that this whole time. But anyway, their mother's name was Gertrude. And Gertrude and Sylvia's dad made an arrangement that Sylvia and Jenny would stay with them. And Gertrude told Lester, their dad, that she would take care of the girls like they were her own children while he was away. Mm-hmm. So, about Gertrude. She was a 36-year-old woman who, at 5'6", she only weighed 100 pounds. So they said she looked like really, like, haggard and shit. And she also suffered from depression.
Okay.
She had 3 failed marriages. And she had recently been through a breakup with, like, a 22-year-old man. And she recently had a miscarriage.
Okay.
And she lived alone with her 7 children. She would occasionally clean or sew for neighbors to earn money. Which also, Sylvia would also, like, babysit and do, like, odd jobs, you know, around there. Like, the teenage mm-hmm. girls do to earn money as well. On the occasion. So, not long after July 4th, Sylvia and Jenny were staying with Gertrude and her kids. And the rest of the family went to travel. Well, the mom was still in jail, so the rest of the family went to travel and work with the carnival, and they were supposed to come back in November. Now, the mom ended up getting out and joining the family that was at the carnival, like, when she was done with jail.
Okay.
She wasn't in there for that long, I guess. So they moved in July, August, September, October, November. So it's supposed to be like 4 months. So the deal that they worked out is that Gertrude would receive $20 a week for boarding the girls. The first few weeks were going well. And Sylvia was helping around the house and singing along with Gertrude's daughter, Stephanie, to, like, records and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, it seemed like it was going fine. Well, after a while, the $20 checks gradually started coming in, like, a day or two late. And Gertrude started to take it out on Sylvia and Jenny. Mm-hmm. And she ended up beating them with a paddle and told them, "Well, I took care of you two little bitches for a week for nothing."
Okay.
Like, it's not their fault. Like, they said that she beat them for their father not paying. And then the day after they were beaten is when the check arrived. The $20 check. They were also beaten when Gertrude's other daughter, Paula, accused them of eating too much food at a church supper that the other children of the household didn't go to.
Why would they get in trouble for that? Isn't it, like, free at a church or something?
Yeah, I would think so. My church that I went to, we had free, like, meals. And, like, anybody, literally anybody could walk in and just mm-hmm. eat. So, and I don't know why the other kids didn't get to go. I didn't see much more than that. Maybe, I have no idea. But, yeah, people are just being weird. That was an odd reason for me, too, but that will keep coming up. So, by August of 1965, the abuse began to happen more frequently, and it was focused on Sylvia. She would either beat her or wouldn't give her food. So, Sylvia was eating leftovers or rotten food from the garbage. And she was only 15 or 16. Can't remember. Sylvia was also accused of stealing candy that she had actually bought herself. And she was also humiliated in front of everybody because Gertrude asked her if she had ever done anything with a boy before. And, yeah, Sylvia was 16. She didn't know what she meant, and she said, "I guess so." So then a few days later, Gertrude, the mom of the kids, told Sylvia she's getting bigger in the stomach. She might have a baby. And Sylvia thought she was joking and was like, "It is getting pretty big. I might have to go on a diet." So then she kicked her. She said that she kicked her right in the crotch. And they said when they did, she told her and all the other girls that if they did something with a boy, they would for sure get pregnant. And it was said that Gertrude was jealous of Sylvia, and so was her daughter Paula. Because after Gertrude did that to Sylvia, after she kicked her and humiliated her, Paula, who was pregnant at the time, by the way, they were all in high school, she attacked Sylvia and knocked her off her chair into the kitchen floor, yelling, "You ain't fit to sit in a chair." That's what I'm guessing how she sounded. I don't know, but I think that's what she sounded like.
No, I think that's a good impersonation.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess Sylvia didn't deserve to sit in a chair. I don't fucking know why. So another time during dinner, they had a neighbor. This was a boy, too, around their age, that lived in the neighborhood named Randy. And Gertrude, Paula, and Randy force-fed Sylvia this hot dog loaded with mustard, ketchup, condiments, and, like, spices and, like, all stuff. And they forced her to eat it, and it made her throw up. Mm-hmm. And then she was forced to eat her throw up.
Okay, I remember this now. Yeah.
Yeah, and another time happened, too, where she made, like, a big bowl of macaroni and cheese, mm-hmm. but poured, like, cans of lard in it and mixed it together and made her eat it. And again, if she threw it up, then she'd have to eat her own puke. In response to this targeted abuse, Sylvia spread a rumor at their school that Stephanie and Paula were prostitutes. Stephanie found out about the rumor, and when she asked Sylvia if it was true, Sylvia started crying. She admitted to it, but she apologized, and then Stephanie punched her.
Okay, well, that one was fair.
Right? And then, apparently, she ended up, like, feeling bad for punching her, I guess. And then when Stephanie's boyfriend found out, he beat up Sylvia.
Oh, no.
And then when Stephanie's mom, Gertrude, found out, she also beat Sylvia.
Okay, once is enough. Like, yeah. Hash it out with the one-on-one person and then done. Mm-hmm. You smashed it. Like, it's over.
Right? I think this just, like, in Gertrude's mind gave her more of a reason to abuse this girl. Paula beat Sylvia so hard that she broke her wrist. And then after she got a cast, she used the cast to beat her again, which would hurt really bad. They said that she mostly, like, beat her face in and stuff.
Oh, dang.
So Gertrude would repeatedly accuse Sylvia of being promiscuous or a prostitute, mm-hmm. telling her women in general were filthy. And she would also force Jenny to hit Sylvia, her little sister Jenny. And if Jenny didn't, she would beat her instead.
So Sylvia would be like, just hit me.
Yeah, because she was already very protective of her sister, and her mm-hmm. sister's like, I don't know. It was just a bad situation. Other boys from the school would join in and collaborate with Gertrude and her children about abusing Sylvia. They would come over and beat her. They would burn her skin with cigarettes. She had over 100 burn.
Oh my God.
On her body at the time. And Sylvia was forced to strip naked in front of everyone one time and insert an empty Coke bottle into herself with everyone watching.
I bet it was glass.
Uh-huh. Oh. And Gertrude told her that it was to prove to her little sister Jenny what kind of girl she is. So Gertrude eventually stopped Sylvia from going to school because Sylvia had stolen a gym suit after Gertrude refused to buy it for her. So in punishment for stealing the gym suit, Gertrude whipped her with a belt. And then switched to telling Sylvia. She first is about the belt, and then she told her the evils of premarital sex. Then kicked Sylvia in the crotch again. Mm. And this time, Gertrude's daughter, Stephanie, yelled at her mom and said she didn't do anything. Gertrude then burned Sylvia's fingertips with matches before beating her again. And Jenny was also beaten for stealing a shoelace for her strong foot. So Sylvia and Jenny were scared to say anything to anyone about the abuse going on because they were scared it was going to make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And Gertrude had told Jenny she would abuse her just as bad as Sylvia if she told anyone.
Dang.
In the times that Jenny did allude to Sylvia's situation, she was bullied and beaten and ridiculed. Anytime she, like, even tried to bring it up to, like, other kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah, like, you're lying or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Dang.
Because, like, I don't know why. Like, it's just so weird to me that so many people were involved in this. Like, it was kind of, like, common knowledge within the, like, community.
Yeah.
At least the kids. The few times their parents did come and visit them, but the girls didn't show any sign of their situation. Like, they didn't seem stressed at all. And they said it's most likely because Gertrude and her children were in the room while the parents were visiting. Like, they weren't alone with their parents ever to tell them.
Oh, my gosh.
On their last visit, as soon as Sylvia's parents left, Gertrude turned to her and asked her, "What are you going to do now, Sylvia? Now they're gone." So the girls had an older sister that they ran into at the park one day. They tried to say what was going on, but their sister thought that they were just exaggerating. Like, she didn't really believe them, and she didn't say the exact address that they lived at.
Mm-hmm.
And then several weeks before that, Sylvia and Jenny had encountered their sister again in the same park while in the company of one of Gertrude's children. An 11-year-old. And Sylvia had been given a sandwich to eat when she had mentioned to her sister she was hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So when they got back to the house, Sylvia didn't say anything about the sandwich that she had gotten, but Gertrude's daughter, like, told her mom that she had been given a sandwich. So when she told her, Gertrude accused Sylvia of engaging in gluttony. And then her and Paula choked Sylvia and beat her. The pair then put Sylvia in a scalding hot bath to, quote unquote, cleanse her of her sin. Mm. With Gertrude grabbing Sylvia's hair and repeatedly banging her head against the bath to revive her when she fainted. Like, they were, like, straight up torturing this girl.
Yeah, didn't even give her a chance.
And just her. Like, sometimes Jenny would get beat, but they didn't do this type of stuff to her. It was just, like, all on Sylvia, and it's just so weird to me. Yeah. So, not long after this happened, one of the fathers that was a neighbor had reported to the school that a girl living at that home had open sores all over her body. And a school nurse had actually come to investigate because Sylvia had not been to school in a few days.
Oh, okay, good.
Right? But, of course, people can get away with anything, I swear, because when the nurse came, Gertrude claimed that Sylvia had run away and she didn't know where she was and that she was a bad influence on her sister and her children. And the sores on her body were from poor personal hygiene. And the school never investigated again after that.
They were like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah, exactly. They didn't, you know.
No, I don't know. That doesn't make sense. And they just stopped investigating because they were done.
I know. And it's like, if another person is reporting this, like, wouldn't you ever think, like, oh, maybe this is a person that's abusing this girl? And, of course, they're going to lie.
Yeah, so you force yourself in there, but I mean, it's hard because she wasn't a social worker.
Yeah, so like they didn't even bother like taking the necessary steps to like even look into it again. They just dropped it.
Yeah, if you aren't uncomfortable with the question, like I'm not going to question it in itself.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Exactly. It was just
a red flag.
Yep. So, they ended up, well, Jenny had run into their older sister again that they had met at the park before.
Mm-hmm.
And when she asked how Sylvia was doing, Jenny said, "I can't tell you or I'll get in trouble." So, it already seems pretty fucking bad, but the abuse, it became more frequent and more brutal than what it had already been. Sylvia started to, she couldn't control her urine. Like, she would, like, piss herself mm-hmm. because she couldn't control it anymore. And she wasn't allowed to use the bathroom, so.
Yeah, where else are you supposed to go?
Yeah, and, like, when your body goes through, like, shit like that, like, sometimes you can't hold, like, your bowels in.
Mm-hmm. Especially being kicked all the time.
Yeah. So, when she did piss herself, she got punished.
Mm-hmm.
And on October 6th, she was thrown into the basement and tied up. They kept her naked down there. They would give her very little food, almost no water. And, they also, like, tied her, they said, to the railing to the stairs to where, like, her feet were barely touching the ground.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. And, like, I was just like, what the fuck is this woman, like, thinking? Like, what joy is she getting out of this? Like, at one point, she held up a knife and told Sylvia to fight her back. And Sylvia said, "I don't know how to fight."
Literally, if she were to try to fight you back, you would, like, obliviate her.
Right? Like, she's already, like, weakened and stuff. Like, what is this? And she would also go to her children and other kids in the neighborhood and say, like, "Oh, Sylvia's talking bad about you." And, like, try to goad them into, like, fighting her or attacking her or whatever they had already been doing.
So get, like, a little, like, kid fighting rink down in your basement.
Yeah, pretty much. But it was more like, you know, like dog fights where they have mm-hmm. like a puppy and like a giant pit bull, like eat the puppy. Like it was like literally like that. Like she, it wasn't like, it was just insane. So, yeah. They would sometimes charge 5 cents for another like kids in the neighborhood to come and look at Sylvia's body and to beat her, hold her down in the hot water again.
Oh my gosh, so it's like a carnival, but for abuse. Yeah,
exactly. It sounds like something from a fucking horror movie.
Yeah, it really does.
And like they would take turns and like rub salt into her wounds and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
I know, like this thing, oh. It doesn't even seem real. Like how bad, like, and literally for like nothing.
Like if you think about it, how bad it is when you get hand sanitizer in a cut.
Yeah.
Imagine.
And she had sores all over her body that a neighbor fucking noticed and called in.
Oh, buddy.
And at least he tried to do something about it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he didn't know, like, all the shit that was going on.
And if he did, shame on him. But
right? Which I don't even know how the parents wouldn't know this shit. Like, wouldn't the kids, like, tell their parents what they're seeing? Like, what when they happen to go to Stephanie and Stephanie's house? Like, I don't know.
I mean, you'd think so, or unless they just didn't care.
Yeah, that's part of it. There's shitty people everywhere of all ages.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. And while they were doing this, they would keep a rag stuffed in her mouth, so, like,
she couldn't scream.
Yeah. One time, Gertrude and her 12-year-old son, John Jr., yeah, I'm gonna name drop you. So Gertrude had a 1-year-old son, and they took the urine and feces from his diaper and put it in her mouth and just left her with half a glass of water in the basement for the rest of the day.
Gross.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, no.
On October 22nd, John Jr., again, took Sylvia a bowl of soup and told her to eat it with her fingers. But, like, by this point, Sylvia was malnourished, dehydrated, and still had, like, all those fucking injuries from the beatings that she would, like, consistently get.
Yeah.
And so anytime she tried to grab the soup, he would, like, pull it away from her really quick.
And so it would probably splash on her.
Yeah. I'm sure it did. And at one point, Gertrude forced Sylvia to strip naked. And with a hot needle, she wrote, "I am a prostitute and proud of it," on her abdomen.
Oh, my gosh.
Carved it into her. Actually, she started it, and then she had another boy from the neighborhood finish it for her while she took her little sister Jenny to the store. Gertrude mocked Sylvia after she did this to her, and she said, "Sylvia, what are you going to do now? You can't get married now. What are you going to do?" And Sylvia started crying, and she said, "I guess there's nothing I can do." Later on, she was forced to show the carving in her stomach to everyone at the, like, all the people that would come and, like, pay to see it and whatever, go to the fucking Gertrude's basement. And Gertrude told everyone that she had received that carving at a sex party. That night, Sylvia told her sister, "Jenny, I know you don't want me to die, but I'm going to die. I can tell it."
Yep.
The next day, Gertrude woke Sylvia up and forced her to write a letter to her parents telling them she had run away. And she also, in that letter, had Sylvia frame in a quote-unquote anonymous group of local boys for abusing and mutilating her because she had agreed to sexual relations with them before. So she's trying to, I guess, put off all of this stuff that she had. Like, if she was found, that it was these boys that had done it to her and that she had run away.
Okay, but even if she knew she was gonna die, why wouldn't she just go ahead and be like, "Hey, look, this bitch did it to me, so whatever."
Right?
I wouldn't write that letter.
Yeah, but she was right there, like, making sure she did it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I still wouldn't. I'd be like, "Look, you're already going to kill me, so."
Right? And after finishing the letter, Gertrude had this plan where John Jr. and Jenny, she wanted them to take Sylvia blindfolded into the forest and leave her there to die. So Sylvia heard them talking about this. And on October 25th, she tried to escape because that's when she's just like, "Holy shit, dude, like, they're not going to let me out." She ran out of the basement, and just as she reached the front door, Gertrude caught her. Because Sylvia was so weak from her injuries and malnourishment, like, it was not hard.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't, like, fast. Gertrude tried to force her to eat toast. And Sylvia couldn't because she was so dehydrated. So the toast was forced into her mouth. And she was beat again, but this time with a curtain rod.
Oh.
And they said that the curtain rod, like, was bent, like, into right angles.
Ew, like, that she hit her so hard that it bent?
Yes.
Oh.
So, yeah, of course, they beat her until she was unconscious. And then she was dragged into the basement. Later that evening, Sylvia tried to call for help, which this pisses me off. A neighbor heard it, but she said that it abruptly stopped at 3 a.m., so she decided not to report it.
Oh, you wonder why it stopped at 3 a.m.?
Right?
I bet I can tell you.
So, it's just like fucking, when we cover JonBenet Ramsey, similar shit happened. Like, if you hear something at night, report it.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody can check it out.
Even if it's nothing, like, still.
Right? At least you tried. So October 26th, so the next day, Sylvia was in such bad shape. She couldn't speak properly. She couldn't move her arms. Like, she couldn't coordinate to move her arms correctly. Like, mm-hmm. She could move, but she couldn't get her limbs to do what she wanted them to do. So Gertrude moved Sylvia to the kitchen, which I'm sure Gertrude was like, "Oh shit, Like, she's really fucked up.
Yeah.
Because she tried to get Sylvia to drink a glass of milk and eat a donut. And Sylvia couldn't do it. She couldn't fucking pick the glass up to put it to her face. And so this pissed Gertrude off. So she threw Sylvia to the floor because she was frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And then put her back to the basement. She was delirious. And she was, like, mumbling and moaning and, like, not, like, speaking proper words. So Paula, Gertrude's daughter, asked her to recite the alphabet. Did I say that right? Alphabet?
Alphabet, yeah.
And Sylvia couldn't get past the first four letters. And Paula told her to stand up, which Sylvia couldn't do on her own anymore. So Paula threatened her, if she wouldn't get up, that she was going to beat her up. She also couldn't hold her bowels anymore. So Sylvia ended up, like, shitting herself. And Gertrude ordered her to clean herself up.
Okay, but if she can't stand.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And this is all your fault anyway.
Yeah, no.
Like, she seemed like a perfectly normal, healthy girl before all of this abuse started happening. And now she can't even, like, function.
You just singled her out because you didn't like her.
Yep. So, apparently, attempting to wash Sylvia, John Jr. was laughing while he was spraying her with a hose. And this is when Sylvia tried to escape again. Even in her delirious state, she was trying to get the fuck out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But she collapsed before even reaching the stairs to the basement. And punishment for that was Gertrude started stomping on her head.
Are you kidding?
No. That actually ended up being the killing blow on her autopsy, too.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie decided to give Sylvia a warm, soapy bath. But before she was taken out of the basement, Sylvia, at 16 years old, stopped breathing. And Stephanie attempted CPR as Gertrude started yelling to Sylvia and all those present that Sylvia was faking her death. Yeah. Around 5:30 p.m., a boy from the neighborhood, probably one of the ones that had started, like, had been helping with having this abuse take place,
mm-hmm.
Ran into the basement and slipped down the stairs because it was wet. And he saw Stephanie crying and cuddling Sylvia's body that was malnourished and had, like, lacerations all over it.
I'm sorry, Stephanie was her older sister?
No. Stephanie was Gertrude's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So Gertrude had, she had seven kids.
Yeah, because it was, I remember Paula and Stephanie and.
Yeah. So it's weird because Stephanie, like, I feel like she was the one that also tried to defend her earlier because she said, Mom, she didn't do anything.
Yeah, okay, yes, I recall that.
So, like, I think, I mean, I don't know. I don't know enough about, like, her individually to know, like, what, but, like, it seemed like she had at least some remorse for what happened to her.
Did she ever beat her up?
The only time I read that she did was when she punched her for spreading that rumor about her.
She just punched her that one time?
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Yeah, as far as I know. There was just so much abuse by, like, so many people. It's just, like, hard to keep up with. But from what I know, yes.
Okay.
But Paula, fuck.
Yeah, no, she's a bitch.
She followed in her mom's footsteps, that's for
mm-hmm.
sure. So, yeah. When Sylvia was not breathing, Gertrude panicked and called 911. And she told the police that Sylvia had come home that way. And she was trying to save her.
Okay.
And Jenny told the police the same thing until she was kind of alone. And she said, if you get me out of here, I'll tell you everything.
Smart. Smart girl.
Yeah. So she did. And, like, she eventually got to tell, like, what actually had been happening.
Okay.
And the autopsy of Sylvia's body revealed that she had suffered over 150 separate wounds across her entire body.
Oh, gosh.
And they were all at varying stages of healing. So obviously it was continued, like,
torture.
Yes. Yeah. In addition to being extremely emaciated at the time of her death, it varied in location and nature. Like, it was different types of wounds that she had because they just did so many different things, and how bad it was. Like, sometimes it was worse than others. It was just so many that it was, like, hard to keep up with. Mm-hmm. And her injuries included burns, severe bruising, muscle and nerve damage. Her vaginal cavity was almost swollen shut.
Because of being kicked so much.
Probably, yeah. I mean, like, and all the stuff that they made her do.
Did they ever say if they left, like, boys to be, like, sexual towards her?
I did read something like that. That the boys would, like, rape her and stuff. Ugh. But it said that her hymen was still intact, so. In her autopsy.
Okay.
But they definitely, like, there was a sexual nature to her
with
abuse. For
with,
sure.
Gertrude calling her a whore all the time, like, you think.
Right? And, like, carving that into her stomach and, like, making her do the thing with the Coke bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, that just makes me cringe, dude. It's horrible. Also, Gertrude, the autopsy discredited Gertrude because she told the police that Sylvia had been 3 months pregnant and that she was promiscuous and she was a prostitute.
Did they have any proof?
No.
Okay. So they just did it by word of mouth?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Gertrude just liked to fucking start shit. I don't know. Okay. All of her fingernails were broken, like they were bent backwards.
Oh, no, that hurts on a good day. Like, oh.
And most of the skin on the outside of her body, all her external skin had been peeled or receded. And she had apparently bit her lips and so hard that she partially severed them. Because part of them were like hanging off of her face.
Ouch.
So after all this happened, of course, like, Sylvia's family had no fucking idea this was happening. And she ended up having, like, her own funeral. Mm-hmm. Gertrude and Paula were sentenced to life in prison.
Good.
Now, they charged Stephanie, too, but her charges ended up getting dropped. And I know that a lot of people's that were involved, their charges ended up getting dropped because they had to end up going and testifying in the trial.
What about, what's his name, John Jr.?
So it said that he was sentenced to 2 to 21 years in a thing. So I don't know how long.
Okay, that's a range.
Yeah. I know that he's out now, but he didn't do as much as his sister and his mom did.
Yeah.
But Gertrude and Paula were sentenced to life in prison. And in 1972, Paula was let out. And apparently she worked as an aide to a school counselor for 14 years mm-hmm. in Iowa. And, oh, also going to name drop her. Paula Pace was the name that she changed herself to.
Oh, dang.
Just, you know, in case. I think people should know that. The last time she worked at Iowa, and she had actually worked in that place for 14 years. And she had hid her true identity. So when the school found out in 2012, she was fired. 2012.
Wait, you would think that she would have to disclaim that.
Right? I mean, I would, especially somebody that, like, works with children and is a counselor.
Because I know, like, on job applications right now, like, you have to say, were you ever convicted for anything? And, yes, hello.
Yeah, and, like, they said that she showed no remorse and she just admitted to, like, doing all the shit that she did.
And she's working with children?
I know! Also, the baby that she ended up having, I guess she's married with, like, I think 2 other kids now, but the baby that she was pregnant with at the time, which she named after her mom, by the way, and she gave that baby up for adoption. So I hope the baby, like, went to a good family and got a new name.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she was fired, and apparently she still lives in a small town in Iowa. So I hope it's not where I visit, because like I have family from there that I go to, but whatever. Also for Gertrude, she was also sentenced to life. And this fucking sucks, but on December 4th, 1985, so my birthday, but like 10 years before I was born, but on my birthday, Gertrude was granted parole. And when people found out that she was up for parole,
They were pissed.
Yeah, like there was petitions, like people were really upset, but she was granted parole and released from prison.
Oh my gosh.
She eventually died in 1990.
Did she do anything else after that?
No, not that I know of. I know that her obituary was in the paper and Jenny saw it and she cut it out of the newspaper and she mailed it to her mom and she was like, something like that, bitch, Gertrude is dead. I'm so happy. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was one of the first cases that I've ever read that actually has, like, abuse of that magnitude in it. Mm-hmm. And, like, not even just abuse, like, fucking, like, straight up torture.
Raw hatred. Yeah.
And it's just so weird because it's just, like, for no reason. Like, what did this girl do to you? What could she have done to you for you to react like that?
Yeah, I don't get that. Like, I mean, I've seen people that, like, I immediately, like, don't necessarily like, but, like, I'm not down to go and, like, beat the shit out of them, you know?
Yeah, and it just shows, like, how fucking evil you are and, like, fucking insecure. Like, apparently this was all, her motivation was jealousy. Like, if you're that fucking jealous of somebody, you need to, like, work on yourself.
Yeah, get over yourself and just move on.
Yes, like, it was just insane. And like I said, the daughter, Paula, the really bad one, she was also like jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. It was just a mess. But yeah, that is the murder of Sylvia Likens. It's very sad. But, you know, like if you ever suspect anything is going on, like fucking tell somebody. Because it seemed like everybody knew, but nobody said anything.
Yeah, report it and be wrong or live with regret.
Exactly. Like, I would rather fucking just be wrong. Like, I would be happy to be wrong about something like
that. I'll be wrong any day. Just don't do this shit.
Exactly. So, yeah. And especially, like, the neighbor heard. Because Sylvia had, like, when she was in the basement, like, she had, like, this, like, spade or something. And she was, like, hitting the wall and, like, crying out for help.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah. So, anyways, that was it for today's episode. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Alexis.
And be sure to follow us on Instagram, Central_Crazies_podcast. And if you want to, you can email us at centralcraziespodcast@gmail.com. So anyways, thank you guys. Bye.
Bye.